This is Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscoane. Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter's plan to privatize the Philadelphia Gas Works came to a screeching halt late last month. City Council President Daryl Clark said council would not be holding hearings on the proposal to sell the city-owned utility to UIL Holdings for $1.86 billion. That money would be used to help fill a $5 billion hole in the pension fund for city employees. City Council will be holding hearings next week on alternative ways to deal with PGW's aging infrastructure. The PUC is also meeting in Philadelphia next week to talk about PGW. Well, today on Radio Times, we're going to talk about PGW. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter and by City Councilwoman Marian Tasco, who's chair of the Philadelphia Gas Commission. But joining us now and to get us started is Tom McDonald. He's a reporter for City Hall here at WHYY and at NewsWorks. And Tom, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Always a pleasure.
Let's put some really basic things on the table. What is PGW?
The Philadelphia Gas Works, if you want to have natural gas service in your house in Philadelphia, they're the transportation entity. They bring the gas to your door. And if you want gas, that's the way you get it. That's the easy way to put it. It's owned by the city, largest municipally owned utility in the country, and it's a big entity. Remember, they've got to transport gas to your home. That takes a lot of pipes and a lot of pumping and moving that gas through.
And so much of this whole issue is about the pipes and the infrastructure. What are we talking about here in terms of mileage and also in terms of the age of the infrastructure?
You're talking of hundreds of miles throughout the city, under every street, over every bridge. You've got gas mains. The gas mains are pipe. Some of that gas main is cast iron, can be up to 100 years old. You've got very old infrastructure. It's an old company. And the city can't replace pipe as fast as a lot of people would like to see it. The head of the PUC calls it, in his words, not mine, an accident waiting to happen.
And why can't the city replace its aging infrastructure? What holds them back?
Money. It's a lot of money to do, because remember, they're underground pipes. You have to dig up every street. You have to remove the pipe. You have to replace the pipe. You have to reconnect every house, every business. All those connections take time. Time is money. The digging, the repaving afterwards. It's a very expensive proposition.
We'll be talking with the mayor, but how long has he been wanting to sell PGW? Do you know?
Well, the mayor has advocated for this. They've done a lot of studying, both the mayor and city council. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but both sides have done studies on this. The mayor feels it's a way to replace the piping quicker, to take the city out of the gas business, which most municipalities have already divested themselves of it, and also bring in some money, as you said at the top of the show, to fund the city's pension plan, which is woefully underfunded. That would be about $400 to $500 million once they cover all the debt of the utility.
Now, we're talking about this deal that was hammered out between the mayor and UIL Holdings. Were there other companies interested in purchasing?
There were several other suitors. I mean, this is a very attractive utility to purchase. Even though it's got its problems, it's a good company. You've got a lot of very well-paying people. Of course, you've got your share of people who can't afford to pay. That's something that's in every utility. But again, this isn't something that people necessarily see done by a municipality. You know, when you're running a municipality, you don't necessarily have the expertise to run a utility. I mean, PGW has had its problems in the past. It gives the city an $18 million franchise payment every year, but for years, it couldn't make that because it couldn't cover its own operating expenses and make the payment to the city.
Let me quickly reintroduce you. That's Tom McDonald, City Hall reporter for WHYY and for NewsWorks, getting us started in this hour on Radio Times while we take a look at PGW, a proposed sale that was essentially shot down by City Council President Daryl Clark. It has raised hackles and a whole host of questions about the future of this utility. And if you want to join our conversation, that phone number is 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Again, I will be talking with the mayor in a couple of minutes, but Tom, looking at this deal that the mayor worked out with UIL Holdings, what did it include?
It basically included the $1.86 billion payment. There was also a deal for no layoffs for the workers. There's a unionized workforce for 3 years, the highest guaranteed employment level by any bidder, and a lot of good deal for the workers for the first 3 years. Wages and benefits are comparable or higher than they are now. PGW's pension fund will be fully funded at the closing of the sale, protecting the workers. And UIL's offered additional guarantees to the workforce, and they will invest in training and development programs in Philadelphia to help Philadelphians. Now, what the workers are concerned about is what happens after 3 years. There was a lot of talk as this sale was getting closer that the union wanted UIL to sit down with them and give them assurances past that 3-year guarantee. And that never occurred. UIL didn't talk about whether they were going to, but you know, we were expecting a hearing process where those questions were going to be answered.
But that hearing is not going to take place, at least as according to City Council President.
That hearing. Okay, there is going to be a hearing. There's going to be several hearings.
Next week.
Now, usually, why don't we put a little bit of the bones to this structure? Usually, the mayor transmits a bill request. Okay, that was transmitted. Then a council member introduces the bill. Then there are hearings. What happened here was there was a council study that was done. And at the end of that process, the council president decided that there wasn't going to be a hearing on a sale bill. A sale bill was never introduced. Now, in theory, it takes one council member to introduce that sale bill, 5 council members to vote to have a hearing on the sale bill, and then it would move through the council process. There is still hope by the Nutter administration that somebody will step forward and introduce that bill. But nobody's talking about it, and you know, you've got the hearings next week. It seems like an uphill battle. It seems like the Nutter administration is trying to find somebody, but you'll be able to ask the mayor that.
Indeed. But is this unusual for instance, a mayor to go through this process?
No, it's the standard process. The mayor has to send a bill request.
Right.
The legislative portion of the city council, has to introduce a bill, run the bill through the process. The only thing that's different here is the bill never saw the light of day. And that was because the council president is basically taking the blame for this. And if you want to take a little analysis here, he's taking the weight off some of the members that could be really tied up going into an election year with this vote. If they took a vote, union people would remember it. You even have two unions on opposite sides here for all intents and purposes. You've got the union that is the gas workers union. And you've got the union people that are going to dig the holes and replace all the pipes, which would happen a lot quicker. So there'd be a lot more work for the union people who replace the pipes.
Daryl Clark has said that the council had no appetite to sell this utility as specified in the plan. That's kind of a summary of what he said. Now, council did their own plan. They spent about $500,000 to do their own investigation into the sale of PGW. What did they come up with?
Well, that's a good question, because the council evaluation was very, very closely held to the vest. Council decided that their evaluation showed that it wasn't as good as the Nutter administration said it was going to be. Now, when you look at this and you look at what the council president said, there are some people on council. Nobody willing to step forward and say this, but there are some people on council that wanted to see a bill and a full and open hearing on the matter. Could you find 9 people to make this go through? I don't think so at this point. But after a hearing, a lot of people change votes.
But why do you think there has been do you think members of council are afraid of the president, or have bad feelings about the mayor, or, as you were saying earlier, or worried if there was some kind of a debate on this, they might be exposed?
I think that's why the council president took the brunt of this on himself, because it's a no-win situation for certain people. You've got an election year coming up next year, and all of council's up for re-election. The council president's job's pretty secure. His district has always been for him and his predecessor, John Street. There is nothing that he has to worry about. although there are talks that the council president has aspirations to become mayor.
Hmm.
And if you go to our website, newsworks.org, Dave Davies does a thorough read-through on the political implications, and I think it's something that everybody who's interested in this should read this morning.
But do you think this is personal? Is it procedural? Is it about policy? Is it politics? What do you think's at work here?
I've been doing this for about 30 years.
You know the city pretty well.
And I will tell you that there are times when the council and the mayor are on opposite sides of an issue. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time. And at this point, the council and the mayor have not come to a meeting of the minds. They are definitely the Grand Canyon apart.
Now, there will be hearings. City Council
next Thursday
is
and Friday.
Okay. And those hearings are to look at some alternative plans or possibly a public-private partnership?
Well, the interesting thing that the council president said when talking about these hearings is that the sale is not completely off the table. Okay. He's saying that they want to do something different than what the bill that they were sent, the contract. Now, there's a debate here, too. The debate is that council believed that they couldn't do any modifications to the contract that was sent to them. That's not the case. I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen a bill come up to council and it's been amended.
Mm.
And the people at UIL, I think, are that excited that they would probably accept something. They're not saying that. But there would probably be some modifications allowed within a framework, you know. But again, without a hearing, you don't know if you could make something that was workable for everybody.
Now, there's also a hearing next week by the PUC, the Pennsylvania Utility Commission. They also play a role in PGW.
The PUC oversees PGW. The PUC chairman was the one who I said earlier said that the piping system, the gas mains, were an accident waiting to happen. I called him right after the announcement was made and might say some steam was coming out of his ears.
Really?
And basically, they want these pipes fixed sooner rather than later. I don't keep me to this number, but I think the number for replacement right now, even with an accelerated schedule, is over 4 decades. And a private company could do it in about half that time.
In 2 decades, something. But we're talking,
it's still a lot of time, but it's a lot of main. A lot of pipe.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you joining us today on Radio Times, coming into the studio, getting our conversation started, talking about PGW, always an interesting and complicated issue here in Philadelphia. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's Tom McDonald. You can hear him on Newsworks, or Newsworks Tonight, Newsworks and WHYY, City Hall reporter, getting us started to understand what's going on with PGW, a proposed sale that was negotiated by Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, shot down last week by City Council President Daryl Clark. In fact, Mayor Nutter waiting in the wings to join our conversation. You can join us as well. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We've been talking about this plan to sell PGW to UIL Holdings here in Philadelphia, with proceeds going to reduce the $5 billion pension liability for municipal employees. It was essentially shot down last week when City Council President Daryl Clark said there would be no hearings on this particular proposal. He said there was no appetite to sell the utility as specified in the plan. Mayor Nutter called it a big cop-out. Mayor Nutter joining us in this portion of Radio Times, and nice to have you back with us on the show.
Marty, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you taking up this issue, and always a pleasure to be on your show.
Nice to have you on. Is this deal with UIL Holdings, is that deal dead?
I don't think so. Certainly, there was a bit of a characterized as a shock to the system last Monday. But quite frankly, I think as a result of last Monday's announcement, there are probably at this point more people talking about PGW and the proposed sale and the UIL company than had been talking about any of this before. So, you know, in a, I guess a somewhat strange way, it's really brought the issue fully to light. There are a lot of people talking about this. There are a lot of people concerned about it, both supporters and people who may oppose it. But, I mean, again, that's the whole point, certainly in a democracy, that you have a full, free, and open discussion and debate, look at all the particulars, get into the details, and certainly the opportunity to be on your show, knowing how you do your research. There are many, many deal elements here that need to be out in the public. So folks have heard the sale price, $1.86 billion. What does that mean? I mean, obviously, that's a lot of money. But the way it shakes out is that PGW is our responsibility. The assets are owned by the city. If in the future PGW experiences any financial challenges, the city ultimately is responsible for those, as we've seen in the past. And we can talk about that when we had to lend them money or when they stopped making the $18 million payment. It's an incredible collection of assets. We are the largest city in America that owns and has responsibility for a gas utility. And so the company has about $1 billion in debt. They have great employees and great leadership in management, but there has been this discussion actually going on for 20-plus years. So this is not a new idea, and this is certainly not my original idea. Mayor Rendell, when he was mayor, explored the possibility of a sale. Mayor John Street had a team of people look at the same issue and actually hired a company, Lehman Brothers, when they were in business, to look at this same issue. So we decided we should get an answer to the question.
Well, let me just jump in here, and I do want to get to some of these details, but I also have a question for you in that you met such resistance from council, and some people even using the word dictatorship, or it was, you know, a fait accompli, their feeling that they had to just sign off on this deal, that they were not there to really negotiate it or talk about it. In hindsight, though, do you think you could have done something different so that council felt more included?
Well, the first part of your question, I mean, nothing could be farther from the truth. We've been talking about the prospect of this in a fairly intense way for over 2 years, and the process really started about 4 years ago. Having said that, I mean, it is my general belief every day on anything that we do here in the government. There's always something that you can do better, hindsight's always going to be 20/20 vision. But the facts are that when we came to a point of bringing on Lazard to do our analysis, council was told directly about that. I made that call myself. When we released the first Lazard report back in February of 2012, I contacted both the council president and Councilwoman Tasco to let them know the report was being released and that more than likely we would pursue the prospect of a sale. We've offered on numerous occasions at every possible benchmark and critical point the opportunity for the council president and or his staff to literally sit at the table where information could be gleaned, the most detailed and sensitive information, of course, if you sign a confidentiality agreement because of the nature of this transaction. So I'm never going to say that the process was perfect, but I'm certainly not going to allow some to say that it was exclusive. We tried to be inclusive. We had numerous briefings and activities. When Council President was sworn in, when we were last all together at the Academy of Music, even in his own speech, he talked about the prospect of municipal asset sales and that we should look at those kinds of things. That was, of course, in January of 2012. So, I mean, this has been a very, very public process, very engaged, very involved, serious, legitimate firms doing the analysis and examination, and at least the offer for the opportunity to have council staff actively engaged in this process. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
I take it very, very seriously. So 33 companies responded to the bid. They put up real dollars and real plans, and some were operators of utilities, some were more strategic or investor-type players who were going to have someone else run it. Ultimately, UIL, as validated by the Concentric report, So this is not what I'm saying.
And that's a report done by City Council, just so people know.
City Council hired Concentric to do two reports. One, to examine and analyze our process. And the second was to look at what's referred to as highest and best use, HBU, if you were not going to sell. And so if you look at the Concentric report, and you start on page 31, you will see a series of questions that Concentric asked and then answered. And so the question, was UIL's final bid the best proposal received through the solicitation process based on price and a high-level review of the transaction terms? Here's the answer from Concentric. Based on Concentric's review of the transaction materials and the transaction terms analysis developed by the city administration, Concentric concludes that UIL's final proposal was the best bid received. Number five, does the proposed purchase price of $1.86 billion reasonably reflect PGW's value? Answer, yes. Concentric concludes that the proposed purchase price of $1.86 billion reasonably reflects PGW's value. And lastly, Concentric's valuation of PGW was $1.39 billion to $1.80 billion. So the UIL purchase price is actually greater than Concentric's own value for PGW. So, these are details. They're important and should be fully out in the public and fully debated in a public hearing, just like virtually every other bill that comes through the process.
Well, and just picking up on that, if this is such a good deal for the city, why do you think not one member of City Council has introduced it so that it can be discussed?
Well, I'm not a psychologist, so
no. But you were a member of City Council.
I was. I spent 14 wonderful years of my life.
Don't you have a friend there?
City Council, and I think this is not so much about friendship. The body is a quite unique entity, and I think because the City Council President, Council President Dale Clark, who I respect a great deal, has taken the lead on this, I think members are exercising their respect for the president and the process, notwithstanding the fact that many, are concerned about the overall perception that City Council is not allowing for a full debate and discussion. I mean, I believe in respect as well, but they're all individually elected. They have constituents. People want information. In the city of freedom, liberty, and democracy, the birthplace of our nation, this is the place where active, rigorous debate should be had and engaged in. And we then have to make a case. And others will come in and make their case. But at least there's a full opportunity for citizens, for workers, for customers, for business people, and other interested stakeholders to hear all of the information. You're not going to read it all. Disrespect. You're not going to hear or read or see it all just in the news media. That's why we have public hearings.
Well, let me reintroduce you, and that's Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, the second of three guests in this hour of Radio Times. In fact, in about 10 minutes or so, we'll be joined by City Councilwoman Marian Tasco, and we're talking about this frankly, this fight over PGW, the proposed sale of PGW. And we want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499.
Marta, can you let me at least walk through the details of the deal and why we think it's a great deal, given the dollars involved and what would happen with those dollars, what happens for customers, what happens for workers?
Sure. And if I can maybe even just frame it with a couple of questions, and then you can ask it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Tom McDonald set us up perfectly talking about the aging infrastructure and the need to replace pipes and to ensure that there isn't some kind of gas
explosion. Service is not only an important service, but it's also a dangerous service. And so, one, you need highly skilled people to be actively engaged in this business, which we have over at PGW. But the fact of the matter is, with over 3,000 miles of pipe underground and in a variety of places all over the city, 1,500 miles of which are the aging cast iron pipe that desperately needs to be replaced. PGW's anticipated schedule, what they've said to the PUC, which is their rate-making and governing body, is that some of that pipe infrastructure is over 100 years old. They estimate at the current levels it will take about 88 years to replace that infrastructure. UIL has already publicly stated that they will significantly increase the rate of pipe replacement. That will also require, of course, more workers to do that work. This is a $1.86 billion offer. PGW they'll have to pay off $1 billion in debt, take another $200 million from the sale to fully fund the pension plan for all of the current workers. They all will be retained with a no-layoff clause, an ironclad no-layoff clause for 3 years, which they presently don't have. UIL had the largest or the highest minimum workforce level guarantees, which during that three-year period, people can they'd only lose employment either through attrition, just people leaving, or retiring.
And 1,350, that's the bottom line.
1,350 is the bottom line, which they don't even anticipate reaching anytime soon. The rest of those dollars, the net proceeds, now that the city is off the hook for all of the environmental responsibilities of PGW, for all of the pipeline replacement issues, those net proceeds, we have said from the start, the overwhelming bulk of which will be then placed in our own City of Philadelphia pension fund, which is less than 50% funded. So we want to ensure the security for our current retirees and our present-day workers that the pension will be there for them that they're working hard for today. That opportunity sets our pension fund on a path to financial stability over the course of the next decade. Every program that's in place today, customer responsibility program, senior citizen discount program, low-income customer program, all of which are governed by the PUC, all have to stay in place, and UIL has already committed to maintaining those programs, and they can't get rid of them anyway because of the PUC jurisdiction. This is a great deal.
Well,
it deserves the opportunity to be fully heard, fully vetted. All documents, the asset purchase agreement, this APA that folks talk about, all the other materials that would be attached to an ordinance with its introduction in City Council, so everybody can see. And opponents and proponents should have the full opportunity to sit at a table, express their opinion, and lay things out. I mean, the essential question here is, why is it so important for the City of Philadelphia to still own and operate and be responsible for a gas utility? I've not heard an answer to that question. I've never heard that case made for why we as a city government should maintain and be responsible for this entity.
And Nutter, Mayor Nutter, I have to jump in here only because we only have you for about five more minutes. And I do want to get Steve from Center City, Philadelphia to join our conversation. And Steve, Steve, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
I know you have a lot of questions, so I'll make it quick. In the 1970s, I worked for Winklevoss & Associates, which was a pension actuary firm, and we did the City of Philadelphia's pension fund and reviewed it. He was a professor up at Wharton in the insurance department, and Dan McGill headed the firm.
And Steve, your question is?
Yes.
Your question
is? Well, the claim that you're going to this will help the city's pension fund is erroneous. It was woefully underfunded back in the 1970s. There's structural problems which will not be corrected just from a contribution, and the fund will continue to be underfunded because of the way it's based.
Okay, well, let me take your point. He wants to disconnect it from the PGW sale, a proposed sale.
I appreciate what he said. I mean, I have to admit, in the 1970s, I was a teenager, so I was not paying that close attention to the city's pension fund. What I can tell you is that the combination of such a huge infusion of cash, upwards of $500 million, $500 million, plus the changes that we've made over the years, my predecessors, but certainly the recent contracts with all of our unions, have almost all of our workforce either paying more into the pension fund as a part of their salary, or some workers actually going into a different pension fund. So I can tell you from a pure actuarial standpoint, when you look at those actions plus the dollars that will come in from the recently extended sales tax, a portion of those dollars will go into our pension fund. We have a path. We can show you on a sheet of paper a clear path to financial soundness for our pension fund, notwithstanding many of the things that happened from the past. Marty, I think...
I actually have one more question for you, if,
sure.
if you don't mind. And I again, I appreciate you joining us, and Mary mm-hmm. Tasco waiting in the wings
yes.
here. But you have talked about... you have talked about making Philadelphia, you know, the greenest city in the country.
Yes.
Do you see PGW as part of this energy hub that people are talking about, using the Marcellus Shale fossil fuel and making this an energy hub? And if you see those two connected, can we be a green city and also be an energy hub like that?
The two absolutely go together. PGW is a part of what would be an energy hub, but I don't think you're going to find any people with a lot more expertise in this than myself, suggesting that PGW is a central component of an energy hub. An energy hub is about a variety of businesses realizing that we are, in fact, focused on this particular sector, energy, that companies want to be in the region, that they can see a pathway forward in terms of doing business, that we could, in fact, utilize the abundant and low-cost Marcellus Shale as a competitive advantage for us. But ultimately, it'll be a private company that can truly capitalize on the access to Marcellus Shale, the capital markets that PGW doesn't have access to, and the ability to also further invest in our LNG facility. So we could be an energy hub, but we need to move past this particular point. Tommy McDonald raised an essential issue that I think is in some controversy out in the public. And so the one thing I do want to mention, it is absolutely not true that council has an inability or is constrained in some tremendous way from amending the ordinance that would be involved in this particular transaction. And directly from the asset purchase agreement in Section 8.1b, it specifically says and anticipates that council will, in fact, or can, in fact, make amendments or adjustments to that ordinance. And so I don't know where that information is coming from,
but
it is wrong.
I hate to cut you off. Mayor Nutter, thanks for joining us today in Radio Times. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. I just said goodbye to Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. We were talking about the battle to privatize PGW and his plans to move forward now that the city council has effectively killed his plan. Councilwoman Marian Tasco joins us now. She represents Philadelphia's 9th District. She's the chair of the City Council Public Health and Human Services Committee, also vice chair of the Council Finance and Ethics Committee, and she's chair of the Philadelphia Gas Commission. And Councilwoman Tasco, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning to you as well. One of the questions that really hangs over this whole question about privatizing PGW is why council did not hold hearings on the proposal put forward by Mayor Nutter. Why not?
Good morning, everyone. Philosophically, council believes that they could have a discussion about the sale of PGW. The mayor proceeded to draft a bill after getting the bids in from the various interested parties, draft a piece of legislation, said this is what I'm proposing, and with limitations of council's involvement. My thinking about this is that if we were going to consider the sale of a major asset such as PGW, that we should have had a broad discussion about what that should be.
Well,
what should we sell? Should we partner? What does it mean? There was not that discussion. I want to sell PGW because I need $400 million for the pension fund, and here's a piece of legislation, and you can't amend it.
Well, wait, let me just stop you there, only because the mayor just said the council could absolutely amend the bill. It wasn't there just to sign off
on. Let me read you.
Okay.
Let me read you the part of the agreement. Council's approval. The Council of Philadelphia shall have enacted, and the mayor of the City of Philadelphia shall have approved an ordinance to authorize the facility and facilitate the transaction contemplated by this agreement, and substantially the form set forth in Section B, 81B of the seller disclosement letter, which we never got. We never got it.
So,
and if you're going to, provided by the seller, so long as any amendments, revisions, or additions do not adversely affect the buyer, and the seller shall consult with the buyer regarding any proposed amendment. What power does that give the city council in making any adjustments to this bill?
Okay. And let me just put something else in. And I have to say to you and to our listeners, this was information that we got from the mayor's office. Nonetheless, he's saying it was a myth that council was not involved in the PGW sale process, saying that the council was involved in all steps of the process. There were meetings held. I see a list of meetings that were held, some that you attended as well. They are pushing back hard on this notion that City Council and you and Council President Clark were not involved in this process.
The mayor called the meeting of all of several parties 2 or 3 years ago, said, I'm looking at the sale of PGW, what we could do because we need the money. And that's the last we heard of him. The next thing he had done was hire a consultant. And the consultant even suggested to the mayor that he should call together a broad-based group of people to discuss the future of PGW. Mm. That was not done. And from that moment on, we had no involvement with the process that was taking place to provide us with that bill.
But wouldn't a hearing on this bill allow you and others and those who have criticized what the mayor did a forum to discuss it, and also a chance for the public to hear what council wants out of this transaction?
What we want, we don't want anything out of this transaction. What we're going to do is have a discussion about the future of PGW, what would be in the best interest of PGW and the city, and bring all of the interested parties and the necessary parties together to talk about what do we do with this asset that is so valuable and has been so valuable to the City of Philadelphia. And that's what we need, and that's what council is going to do when we have our hearing.
No, okay.
And then we will invite any and everyone who wants to come in to discuss the future of PGW, what are the alternatives, what can we do. And then we will have a further discussion on ideas, and before we take any action, make sure we have broad participation.
Now, City Council, as we know, you had your own report done by Concentric Energy Advisors. Mm-hmm. They came up with a number of recommendations. They seemed to feel that this was a legitimate proposal coming from UIL, saying that actually what they were paying is more than what PGW is worth. And I'm also looking at some comments that were in the Philadelphia Inquirer from some members of City Council, saying that they were seeing just a rough draft of the proposal. They weren't really allowed to spend time deeply looking at the proposal, only just a summary. The idea that, you know, you criticize the mayor for not being public about his deliberations, but by not allowing members of City Council or maybe members of the public to look at this proposal from Concentric, they are shut out of the process.
Well, this process by council with our consultant was an in-depth review of all of the submissions by the various companies who had bid on the sale. What they said was, if you want to sell in context with a sale and what that brings, this is a fair price. But it was based on comparing UIL's proposal to all of the other proposals. Mm. Not is that this is you should do it. They gave us other actions and around the sale and said we should consider the myriad of financial employment rates, public policy, economic development, and social conditions, as well as the programs and functions that PGW provides as a city. It said, look, there are things that you need to look at as a city in considering selling this asset. So what you were doing, they were evaluating UIL's proposal against the other proposals that were presented to the city.
Do you favor in any way selling PGW, or are we talking about a public-private partnership?
Listen, I don't believe we should sell it, but I do think if there's interest by members of council that there might be other options to maximize the potential of PGW, that we should have those discussions. There's nothing wrong with having a discussion about PGW, what it can do in the future, given the whole issue around the market, and there are some public-private partnerships that might work. So, but that discussion didn't take place. There was no discussion to say, what can we do about PGW? And PGW has done much better. We had problems back in since 1972, we had some problems.
I remember
then
that.
We got the PUC on track, PGW on track, and it's moving forward. And so, therefore, Standard & Poor's just raised this rating to an A-. So, everybody is talking about doom and gloom. The company has come a long way. We had Knutson there, and we worked as a gas commission with him to make improvements, hire consultants to move the company forward. That's why we are where we are. So if there is a discussion about the future of PGW, let's have a public discussion. Mm-hmm. Don't bring me one company telling me we're going to sell it to this company.
That's Marian Tasco. She sits on Philadelphia City Council. We have a tweet from Oscar, and this is to you, Councilwoman. How many houses need to explode before City Council realizes it shouldn't be in the gas business?
Well, let me just say this to you. The PUC approved PGW's program last year in terms of main replacement. They have accelerated main replacement, and you have to be very careful. And we haven't had that many explosions. When you look at our record, the federal government has said that we have a good record in terms of safety. So all of this hype about PGW and explosions is just a lot of hot air and on behalf of the administration. And if they were troubled and we couldn't replace the pipes, PUC would have said something about it. They said last August, you were doing fine. You're doing a good job. But they had to vote on it.
PUC also,
all of a sudden now, oh, it's doom and gloom.
I hear you. But PUC has also said that it would take something like 80 years under the current system to replace the pipes.
That is not true. And listen, one of the things about replacing mains is that you just can't go into a neighborhood and put a line in. You have to coordinate that with all the other pipes that are underground. So how are they going to do it? They're just going to dig up the city and all of a sudden put these mains in. It's a lot of malarkey. There's a process that has to take place. And PGW said it could take about 50 years to replace their highest mains and at 100%. So if you all would just listen to both sides, it seems to me everybody wants to believe what the mayor says and not listen to what council says. But we represent 1.5 million people in this city, and we are responsible for them, and we care about their safety, we care about what they say, and we care about this company. And I don't hear anybody in my district are telling me to sell PGW.
No, fair enough. And we want to hear both sides, and that's why here on the show today, Councilwoman Tasco. We actually have Michael West joining us, and he is the vice president for UIL. Michael West, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So where is UIL pulling out of this deal?
Well, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago we were certainly disappointed with the decision not to have a hearing on this, but we had told folks at the time that we would try to give it 2 weeks. There's a lot of moving parts to this. Obviously, a lot of developments are happening as the days progress, and so clearly we want to make sure we're not making any hasty decisions, but we make informed decisions regarding this deal.
Well, you're on the radio with Marion Tasco. She is the chairwoman or the chair of the Philadelphia Gas Commission. What do you say to her?
Well, obviously, there's a tough job that the folks in City Council have to do, and we have always respected that. I mean, clearly, there's a lot of history with this deal before UIL came to the city of Philadelphia, and so we simply replied to the RFP that was in place and had hoped to just be part of a fair and equitable process in terms of trying to get the acquisition approved.
Marion Tasco, do you have something to say back to Michael West?
We don't have any problem. We don't have any fight with Michael West. That's a company bid. They placed a bid for this sale. What we're saying is that we don't like the process that the mayor set up. That's my. I can't speak for other council people. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you how I feel about it. And so I don't have any fight with UIL. They are a company. They bid. Could have been another company. They did what they were asked to do. They submitted a bid. The process was flawed by the city administration.
Well,
that's where the flaw comes in. And therefore, council does not have a voice in this sale. That's what the problem is.
And let me just say goodbye to Michael West, and I appreciate the call to Radio Times. But, Marion Tasco, I'm going back to where I began, which is you could have had a voice with the sale if you had held the hearings on this particular sale.
Why would we have a hearing on a sale that we don't agree with and could not have amended? You talked about a bill earlier coming to council. When a bill comes to council, we have the authority to go through the bill, to make recommendations for change, offer amendments, negotiate with the bill sponsor, and all of that. This was a take it or leave it process. No matter what the mayor says, he's full of malarkey, as he usually is, and there was no process for council to be involved.
You said the mayor was...
And you waste your time having a hearing when you know the vote councils are not going to vote for it, and then you go around and you harass council members to vote for the bill. They didn't need all of that.
We only have about a minute before we have to say goodbye. You say that the mayor is always full of malarkey?
Well, most of the time, okay?
Just most.
That's a personal feeling. I'm not.
Well, I hear that. That's why I asked you. You also talked about...
I'm sorry. This whole issue
I hear ya.
Has just really gotten to me because we are made to look like the bad guys. We are protecting an asset that we need to really examine what we should do with it before we go selling it off to some company, which may be a great company, but has repercussions for us in the city of Philadelphia.
And
that's my passion.
I hear your passion, and I appreciate your honesty, and we're almost out of time here, but are you concerned, as some are, that this whole, the way it was handled, makes the city look bad?
Well, listen, what am I going to say? I mean, does it look bad? Maybe it does to some. Maybe it does to some. We got 5 million people in this city. It's going to look bad to some. It's going to look fine to others. I mean, what do I say?
Well, I appreciate you joining us today on Radio Times. Marion Tasco, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Philadelphia City Councilwoman. She represents the city's 9th district, chair of several committees, including the Public Health and Human Services Committee, vice chair of the Council's Finance and Ethics Committee, also chair of the Philadelphia Gas Works. And we spoke earlier with Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, beginning things off with our own Tom McDonald, talking about this very contentious and controversial issue, the proposed sale of PGW. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this program. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Thanks for joining us in this first hour, and do stay with us. We'll be right back.